It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay. I started it, so do a thing.
What thing?
I don't know. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that keeps happening despite the fact that no one involved wants to be doing it. Like, no one. I defy you to find another podcast where literally everyone involved doesn't want to be involved and it's still going on. As though some sort of judge handed down a sentence of podcasting. I would say community service, but let's get serious.
Yeah.
I am alternate universe Tony.
And I'm alternate universe William.
And alternate universe William is way more chill than regular universe William. And that is 90% due to the fact that he doesn't have to keep track of episode numbers.
That's right.
It's amazing how much stress that leaves off.
Yeah.
When you don't have to worry about that.
I'm barely conscious right now, actually.
Which is the way to do it.
It's nice. Feels good.
So, really, never done drugs? Really? Shocking.
Never needed to.
I feel like this is the druggy version of that bit in 40-year-old version where he's like, you know how when you feel a breast and it just feels like a bag of sand?
What?
Have you not seen that movie?
No.
You know of the movie, right?
I know of it.
Steve Carell plays a 40-year-old virgin. Ding! That's the movie.
I know of it.
But it comes out with when he's playing poker with his coworkers and they basically start talking about sex. And he's trying to talk, too, and he's like, you know how, like, when you feel a woman's breasts and it feels like it's a bag of sand? And they're like, what? And, yeah, so he knows so little and is so wrong about it that they figure it out. They're like, have you ever had sex? Like, no, I haven't. But, yeah, so that was the drug you were at. I feel so chill. You know how when you do drugs and then it's like riding a bicycle? That sentence only works if you're on drugs while you're saying it, and then it totally makes sense, but otherwise not at all. For those of you just joining us, this isn't our show. This is picture us without goatees, and that's who usually does the show.
Those two guys, yeah.
Different universe.
Completely different.
Yours, I think. I don't know. Anyway, those guys have a hat. It's magical. Mm-hmm. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And folks, probably like yourselves, write into that address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little things, little notes, little comments, topics, questions, things like that.
Bless you.
Burp. And then...
the hat.
The hat, magically on its own.
Magically.
Transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself.
Mm-hmm.
They, and this time we, because they're not here, have to draw them out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show.
The hat does all the work.
Yes.
Except the actual talking.
As Selena Gomez said, the hat wants what it wants.
Yep.
And yeah, normally they do it when they can't, then our universe, the evil universe, gets roped into doing it.
Somehow, the forces that be in this universe conspire together to bring us to this place to do this thing.
Yes, proving once again, two universes can be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know how many teeth.
You got your podcast in my universe.
I don't know how many teeth that is.
Two great tastes that go to No, that doesn't work.
Are we the chocolate or the peanut butter? Which one is more evil?
We must be the peanut butter because they got their podcast in our universe. So that would make them the chocolate. No?
I didn't know that it was that situationally. I didn't know that there were physical logistics in the making of Reese's.
I guess I didn't either. I mean, thinking of that TV commercial.
The series of commercials.
Yes, yes.
It did always involve a generic chocolate bar dunked into a
jar of peanut butter. That's right.
So in that case, we would be the peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Peanut butter, the most evil of the nut butters. Because it's not even a nut.
No.
It's a legume.
And you always have to get through all that goatee hair when you're eating it. It's gross.
Wow. That might be the grossest thing you've ever said, which admittedly is a low bar.
Yeah.
But still, that might be the grossest thing you've ever said. All right. So, how are you?
Well, how am I?
Yeah.
Evil.
All right.
How are you? Oh, evil. You're evil too? Yeah. Good.
All right. Let's take him out of the hat.
I don't know why this hat keeps making these note cards.
Because people keep emailing.
Maybe the key is to get the hat to stop making note cards. People can write all they want somehow, and we can stop the... But it's magic. How do you stop magic?
Science?
No. It doesn't work like that, I'm afraid.
Religion?
No. Nothing stops magic except that it doesn't exist.
Nail gun?
If magic exists, then nothing stops it. But if it doesn't exist, then there's nothing to stop. That's how it works.
You know, Superman only has two weaknesses.
Kryptonite magic.
Yes. And that's purely because you can't make you can't have Superman fight anybody. Otherwise, because there's only so many goddamn times people can say, hey, look, I found a piece of Krypton. Seriously, they had to make him weak against magic because otherwise... Any fight he's in,
yep.
Either they have to whip out some kryptonite or lose.
This question says, did you know? This is a did you know question.
Did you know?
Are you prepared?
All right.
Did you know? The placebo effect is apparently getting stronger, especially in the U.S.
Interesting.
Did you know?
I did not. Moving on. No. Did you know that?
Familiar. I'm not sure how that would be established.
It sounds like some shit that you would have told me. Well,
How would people know? Why would you even test that?
Well, they test the placebo effect. They've been doing that forever. That's how they came up with it.
Well, the placebo effect, they don't. My experience with the placebo effect isn't that it's being tested. It's that it's in a test. So. You know, you can rely on a sugar pill, for example, to have a certain placebo effect. But to test the actual strength of the placebo effect, I don't know how you test that. And not only do I not know how you test that exactly, how do you compare it to previous times because someone else tested it?
That's the thing. I don't think, I definitely think it's been tested. I don't think you're thinking statistically enough. I think by strength they don't mean this time we gave him an M&M and he said he felt even less pain. I think they mean out of 100 people, this last time it was 74 who fell for it.
This
time it's 82.
Oh, okay, yeah,
that
sure.
Would be my guess.
Yeah, you could definitely notice that. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I don't think it's a. All right, just out of curiosity, this time are you feeling more better?
Okay, I'm an idiot.
Because we
sorry,
gave
then.
You a green one.
I just didn't understand. I just didn't understand it at first. But I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right.
So thoughts? Why? How? What? Who are you?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, the most immediate hypothesis one, I think, would draw from this is that in our culture right now, people are constantly being primed to behave as if certain things are real, whether they're real or not. Constantly being primed with that, and so I think people are ready. I think people in our culture are you know, very sort of pre-programmed to accept whatever reality they're given and to completely commit to it, consciously and maybe even a little bit unconsciously, so that for them, that reality, you know, looks, feels, tastes absolutely real. They believe it. They think everybody around them believes it. So maybe there's a certain kind of psychological priming that our culture does that makes something like a placebo in a study even more, I don't know, believable.
All I know is steak tastes better when I take my steak.
And you feel fantastic.
Yes. So, if I understand your hypothesis correctly, the implication why it was stronger now is that this sort of mimetic programming is increasing, is getting stronger in our society.
It's more widespread, sure.
Particularly in the U.S.?
Yeah, the odds that you're going to find a test subject who already is a little bit of a brainwashed zombie is higher than it used to be.
Yeah.
And so the reason the placebo effect, I would say that it's not the placebo effect that's stronger. I would say that it's, you've got in your sample pool, you've got more people who are susceptible to suggestion. And so it makes it look like the placebo itself, the placebo effect is stronger. But the placebo effect isn't even operating. It's just you told them it'll work and now they know it'll work. Or,
that,
you know, they've convinced.
Gesture you did while you were explaining that, that's not how that gesture works. That means something else entirely.
I don't even know what gesture you're talking about.
To have done. But luckily, it's an audio. I won't tell.
But you see what I'm saying?
I do.
And but I'm just pulling that out of the air, well, you know, off the cuff. I have no idea.
I don't like that explanation. Okay. It might be right. I don't like it.
Well, I don't
because
know if it's right or not.
Because it's the explanation you pull out for everything these days.
Which is what?
That everybody is turning into zombies. And that we're all being brainwashed.
Okay.
By the culture. And again, may not be wrong, but...
It's boring?
Well, yeah, if we just start rubber stamping everything with that.
Well, that's not what I'm doing.
The equivalent of God did it, you know.
No, it isn't. I'm not just throwing that explanation out of the blue.
But there
are
levels of granularity and specificity that I feel can make this more interesting.
Okay.
So mine is different, and I don't know that it is incompatible with yours.
Okay. But it was just something I was pulling out of the air off the cuff. So
I'm just saying it's your watch band. It lives on your cuff all the time because I remember this bit.
Yeah, but I don't think I pull it out for every, you know, like.
Well, I don't think you pull it out inappropriate.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's boring. I think, I mean, and like I said, what I'm about to describe may be a subset of what you're talking
about.
But we're in a super pro-drug culture right now. And it's getting worse all the time. We have a pill, a spray, or an over-the-counter tablet for everything now. And we are bumping the advertising for... A, for pharmaceuticals, but B, just for over-the-counter shit, you know, vitamin influxes and whatever, is just fucking through the roof, and we are constantly being told, whatever problem you've got, we've got a pill for that. And if the pill has side effects, don't worry, we got other pills for the side effects. Which legitimately happens. I believe I am currently on some prescriptions that are specifically meant to deal with the side effects of other prescriptions I have.
Okay, and what's all that mean?
It means that we believe drugs are fucking magic.
So in other words...
Told, they fix it. So if you hand us a pill and you say, this is medicine, we will totally fall for it because they're fucking magic and they're everywhere. And there's a pill for everything. So if the one you happen to hand me tastes a little bit like candy-coated chocolate, I don't know
about it. You're right. That's a far more interesting way to say basically the same thing
it
I
is.
Said.
I feel like it's a situationally specific.
Yeah.
See?
Yep.
Which is the thing. You're right. I'm interesting. It's kind of how the show works. And without either component, it wouldn't work. Because if it was just me, they'd be like, you're wrong. Shut up. And if it was just you, they'd kill themselves from boredom. So, you know, between the two of us, it evens things out.
Even
people
Steven.
Listen,
see how things work out for you, the listener?
Listen and don't die as much. Being evil, I should support death, but...
You've got a penny on your floor. Yeah. It will be mine.
And he's not going to leave one. I like how you said that just as creepy as possible.
Well, that's part of the shtick.
In the movie of the podcast, Willem Dafoe now has to play you, so you can do that part. But yeah, I feel like drugs specifically are a big one that we're pushed right now. And I think especially in the U.S., everything has a pill now.
Well, another way to put it even more simply and more boringly, I suppose, is to say people in the United States are getting more gullible all the time, which I think is also kind of true. Yeah. But I don't think this is a measure of it. I don't think the increase of the placebo effect, I don't think you can probably fairly scientifically say, oh, look, Americans are getting more gullible.
No, it is theoretically symptomatic, but not in a very obvious correspondence.
But I think it would fairly lead one to suggest a study of just that kind of thing, if because there are ways you can study the gullibility of a particular population.
I feel like there are studies on that. We should look that up. By which I mean you, because I don't do that. because I'm not sure I agree with you to that degree, and I think in general, I see more heterogeneity, socially speaking, and you see more homogeny lately.
Well, here's the thing about the placebo effect in particular.
Is heterogeneity the right
word? I don't know. Here's the thing about the placebo effect in particular, though. The placebo effect is not actually a case of, say, gullibility. It's not actually a case of a person being stupid or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is just a psychological thing. In fact, a lot of people, you know, there are a lot of things I do for my health. Well, for example, chocolate.
Yeah.
Do I know that chocolate is having this effect on me? I'm reasonably certain, because when I first experienced this with chocolate, I didn't expect it was going to happen. In fact, I expected nothing would happen. On the other hand,
unbeknownst to William, someone stuck him with anabolic steroids in the ass.
It could be completely all in my head,
and it is.
And it might be, and because that's something that happens to people. It doesn't mean I'm gullible. It doesn't mean I'm stupid. It just means I'm human. Now, knowing that, I'm okay with it, because if it works, that's all I care about.
Well, and I think the placebo effect is a distinct psychological condition.
Yeah, yeah.
Such that you could get a really dumb person and hand them M&Ms and say, these are pills that will cure your cancer or whatever. And they'd say, sure. And they'd take them, and it won't necessarily do shit. Whereas you could try something with somebody smarter, maybe not M&Ms, maybe sugar pills, and be like, these will cure your cancer. And they'd be like, okay. And it might.
Yeah.
It is tied into belief, but the effectiveness, I don't think, is tied in. It's not like the more you believe,
better,
or anything like that. It's sort of a distinct psychological condition.
or a psychological response, and not so much a condition. But this is why I wonder about the placebo effect getting stronger. When I hear that, it makes me think that
individual cases are stronger.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine the actual placebo effect. That to me, that's kind of like confirmation bias is stronger. I mean, confirmation bias is a psychological thing that happens to everybody. For confirmation bias to be something that it's more people are doing more often is not really about that thing psychologically getting stronger with humans. It's about something else coming in and making people not challenge confirmation bias as much. Does that make any sense?
I love this idea. Confirmation bias is stronger. Well, how do you know that?
Well, it's happening all around me.
I just feel like I've been seeing it.
Well, but you know what I'm saying.
I feel so nerdy, but I also think that's the best fucking joke ever. I'm a little embarrassed, but I love that idea.
But you know what I'm saying?
Send it to the Saturday Morning Breakfast here, guys. It's totally his kind of joke.
But you know what I'm saying? Psychological effects are what they are. They don't really get stronger, but they can be,
but I don't think as a social trend.
Well, right. I think that if something that you see is a psychological effect that people can't even help having, I mean, this is human psychology is what it is. People can't help it. But when you see, when it starts to look like this thing is having an impact in a study or otherwise in the culture or any other measurable way, I think you almost have to start thinking that there's something contaminating that study or something affecting that phenomena that's more than just the psychological effect.
But you have a confirmation bias towards contamination of studies.
Well, maybe I do. I don't know. I don't think I do, but...
Okay, the fact that you didn't laugh clearly means you thought I was serious.
I did think you were serious!
No, that was a joke.
Oh, okay.
Is that anything you say? I can just be, oh, you have a confirmation bias.
That's true. That's true.
I love saying that. The one that gets me, actually, a confirmation bias, but the one that gets me, and I always forget the word, but there's a specific word for it, the whole humans see patterns where there aren't patterns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That one drives me insane now. there's a lot of things like that that I attribute to happening around the same time that I gave up on the concept of deity when I became atheist.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things seem to change at the same time. For example, the one that weirded me out recently as I became aware of it, the lottery. I've never thought I was going to win the lottery.
Okay.
I'm aware of how that works.
Yeah.
Not an idiot in that particular respect. I am still one of those people that, oh, when it gets up to really high, you know, and people like, oh, let's go get a few, I would get a few.
Sure.
Now I'm not anymore.
Hmm.
And I feel like it's tied into that somehow, because, not because I'm like, there's no God, so I'm definitely not winning the lottery. Not quite that direct. But I feel like there is, I feel like there are concepts of things like destiny or divine intervention and that kind of thing, which is what you're largely pinning your hopes on in those situations. I don't believe in that. And just in general, it's causing me to have a more traditionally rationalist outlook on things overall.
Mm-hmm.
And so somehow the lottery, which is just as dumb as it has always been,
mm-hmm.
looks dumber to me now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that.
I don't know if we've talked about this recently, but you know, one thing that you see a lot that's really popular on the internet, like videos and articles, is
getting kicked in the
balls. No,
it really is.
I realize that, but these articles or videos about how these are the foibles of human psychology that you might not be aware of, and it lists all kinds of things like confirmation bias or like certain things about how people take risks or how they see risk. The thing you're just talking about, seeing patterns where there might not be any patterns. Yeah. And all of these things that are, yes, these are psychological foibles of human beings, but they present them like, you know, we stupid humans for 200,000 years, we didn't know we had these problems, but now because thanks to modern psychology, we know, and this is all great. And on one hand, I love those articles because I do think people need to be aware of those weaknesses of human psychology, but on the other hand, to make it sound like we haven't known about these and had strategies to combat them for almost as long as humanity has been around is ridiculous. And I think one of the reasons why these articles and these ideas sort of are so popular is because the thing about just about all of these psychological foibles is the answer to not falling prey to them is to be part of a social group where other people will point them out to you, right? Or where you can, or in that social group, you can learn to see things from someone else's perspective.
Yeah.
And from a sociological perspective, this is what a healthy social group does. A lot of people, and this is another thing that I see in media a lot, is people bashing tribes. And I mean, there are some people that call it neo-tribalism, and oh, we don't want neo-tribalism because that's, you know, tribes are racist and tribes are close-minded and all this stuff.
Neo-tribalism with those weird
ass tattoos everybody got in the 90s.
But I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there equating small groups with what people would popularly think of as like cults. And I mean, like, you know, Kool-Aid drinking cults is what I'm talking about. But from a sociological and anthropological standpoint, that's not what tribes are. In fact, only very unhealthy tribes are like that.
Stupid tribes.
Healthy tribes are not like that at all, because there's no benefit to a tribe being like that in the real world. So So the fact of the matter is, a lot of these psychological foibles, the reason we still have them is because there was no reason for us to evolve out of them, because we had people around us constantly helping us overcome things like confirmation bias and all of this stuff. So most of these things are only important and are only going to bother you if you don't belong to a healthy social group. But we live in such a narcissistic, individualistic culture.
Narcissistic.
That a lot of people have lost that. And a lot of...
I'm not sure I'm registering at all on the mic now. Okay, maybe a little bit. I have to talk really loud.
And a lot of tribes aren't healthy tribes. A lot of tribes are about, I'm going to find someone who sees things just as I do, who thinks just as I do, and therefore are committing all of the same psychological mistakes that I'm committing. And so it's no wonder people look at tribes in this negative way.
I just thought of something I really had to tell you about.
Okay.
But it's centered in a time frame that I can't tell you about.
Well, now you're going to have to remember for later.
Right? I don't know if I will. But I'll tell you this one, which is centered in a time thing, but it's so obscure, I don't think it matters. But when you said, what's big on the internet, and I was like, people are getting hit in the balls. And you're like, no. And I'm like, yes, it is, because it is.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But today, somehow, I got onto a topic of astrology with a coworker. And I said something about how I'm a triple Aquarius. You know, my sun, moon, and ascendant sign are all Aquarius. Mm-hmm. I think I've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to me, you know who else is an Aquarius? And then she paused. As though this is not a rhetorical question. So I looked and I said, well, I mean, the answer to that is yes. I know a lot of people
who are Aquarius.
I suspect you have someone specific in mind, and I might not know that they are. So, and she's like, my husband. I was like, yes, yeah, I didn't know. And I was like, do you know who else is Aquarius? Several. Yes.
Yeah. Lots That's of people.
Not, it was the same sort of thing. You know what's big on the internet? I do. I have no idea if it's going to pertain to what you're about to say. Cats, porn, like, yes, they're a thing. But, yeah. Damn it. I wish I had remembered that earlier. I can tell you offline. But
okay.
It would have been good online, though. All right, I gotta draw something.
Yeah, draw something. I'm boring everybody with everything I'm saying. Boring
the show.
Boring myself, even, which that happens every day.
Further, I can't reach.
Oh, sorry. I am holding the hat for, for Tony.
And as he,
which I often do.
I hate this cat. All right. You think she's bad before? See her with the goatee. This is from Stu.
Hello, Stu.
He's a thing called Welsh. We don't have those in the evil universe. I understand it is universally... get it? Universally loathed and despised over there.
In that universe.
Universally.
Well, maybe that means we'd love him.
Possibly. Sounds evil.
Does he have a goatee, I wonder? Do the Welsh have goatees?
Maybe.
Maybe.
We just established I exist in a universe in which there are no Welsh. Why would I know the answer to that?
Well, you knew that he was Welsh.
Fair point. I forgive you.
It was a follow-up question.
You know who else is Welsh? Yes. Yes, we do. Climate change. We're screwed, aren't we? Cheers, Stu. Yes.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Yes, next question. Are. No. I've talked about this before, too. I got really close to not giving a shit about the environment anymore. I got really close when I decided not to have kids.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about you have mentioned this.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'll be dead before it gets, like, untenable.
Yeah.
And all of my friends and loved ones will be dead. But then people started having, who I'm related to, started having kids that are awesome.
Yeah.
And now I got to worry about it for them. It's like, worry for our children. I'm like, don't got none. I'm like, okay, for those children. God damn it, I like those children. So now I have to worry about this shit. I don't know. I mean, are we fucking ourselves over and is it
going to suck? Yes. Yes. Is it... I'm confident enough in human ingenuity that we'll find a way around it.
I agree.
You know.
But probably not without...
Christopher Lambert will put a thing in the sky.
Probably not, though, without a lot of people suffering. Probably not without that.
No. We don't get up in the morning without a lot of people
suffering. Well, more people than are suffering now.
We don't have iPhones without a lot of people suffering.
In direct relation to this.
Yeah. No, because the people who need to take it seriously won't take it seriously until probably millions of people die.
Of the most vulnerable people on the planet.
Yes, which means we're cool here.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Luckily, all the kids I like are also here. I don't apparently like
foreign children. The fact of the matter is that for people who live in Iowa, for example...
to pick a random location.
In case you don't know, that's where we are.
Wow, way to call me a liar.
There will probably be ways. Iowans are going to have to change a lot of things, including the people who farm in Iowa. The agricultural sector in Iowa is going to have to change a lot of things. But overall, people in Iowa will probably find ways to be okay, not just because of what Iowa does, but what surrounding states do, what the United States does. The biggest impact is going to be on people not American, and certainly not in inland United States, because a lot of the coastal areas of the United States might have some serious problems because of rising water.
But also whatever technology levels that we use to circumvent death. We're going to have it in the U.S. first.
Yes, exactly.
It's not like, oh, they're doing this amazing shit in the Philippines and they've solved climate change. We should really get that here.
So,
that's not happening. Because if it started to happen, they would find the people in the Philippines who are doing it and pay for them to move to the U.S.
That's exactly what would happen. And so when we say we're screwed,
you're screwed.
Yeah, if we get more specific about it, it's probably not going to be. I mean, everyone's going to be harmed by it one way or the other, but the people that are going to be harmed most are not going to be here.
So,
which doesn't make me feel better, honestly. I mean, I think that's terrible. Terrible.
It makes me feel better for comedic effect. We talked about, I don't know what we've talked about. People in the world have talked about the idea of where your sense of self is positioned physically.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, it's their head.
Because that's where your visual and hearing is and stuff like that.
I have talked to people that for whom it's more center of their body when they think of where they are.
Sure.
The reason I bring this up now is not a non sequitur. I have spent my entire life feeling like the Earth's consciousness is pretty much centered in the U.S., I think, because I was quite specifically acculturated to believe that.
I think all of the United States people are that way.
Well, and I think the acculturation may be to a degree that some other countries might feel that way, or people might feel that way. So, there's an extension of that to me. There's not a way that's not going to sound horribly crass. What's it like to live somewhere and know that the world doesn't give a shit about you? Or do you even think on that scale? To be living in rural China and know that even the Chinese don't give a fuck about you, let alone anybody else.
Well, rural China... I mean, and it's hard to say, of course. I mean, speaking for a whole other group of people is problematic in all kinds of ways.
I just picked a random example.
Right, but thinking about rural China, for example, I wouldn't be surprised if there were a lot of people there who are perfectly happy that nobody's paying particular attention to what's going on with them. The real problem is not when you don't think the rest of the world thinks of you or cares about you at all. It's when the world does have some ideas about you and they're terrible. And so they're bombing you, or they're not sending you aid, have they got an embargo against you or your country? I mean, that's when it's really awful, is when some global power does know you exist, yes, and they're paying attention to you, and it's terrible what they think.
But in some cases, that state of affairs for a specific place has been in effect for decades, which means in those places there are people who, since birth, that's been the situation. So what? This is always fascinating to me, this idea, and actually I've started having it when I think of the seriously elite wealthy, the same thing. Other humans that live on this planet in societies that I feel like their entire perspective must be so alien related to mine.
That's probably true. And vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously. And that's weird to me to think about, because they're not aliens. They're also people. I mean, we could interbreed and, you know,
no, I mean,
all that stuff.
You're absolutely right in regard to elites, for example. I mean, imagine what it's like if you're a celebrity and you encounter, you know, thousands of people every day, many of them strangers, but they all treat you like you're some kind of god.
No, but yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't you start to think that everybody in the entire world thinks that about you? Because every time you run into somebody, they treat you this way.
Even if it's not consciousness, even if you're smart enough to be like that, it happens with fame, so I wouldn't do that. Like, there's an erosive quality to it.
Well, yeah.
Just over time. Yeah. Well, and the big one I get with celebrities isn't they think their art is impressive. Like, they think, I came up with this idea.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, and they're like, not necessarily. You're a good singer. It doesn't mean you can paint.
In social psychology, it's called the looking glass self, and it really is a thing where a person starts, because we as human beings, and it's a good thing that we do this. This is one of those psychological, not really a foible, just a psychological thing. We tend to view ourselves through the eyes of other people, at least as best we can do that, and what the people around us believe about us, we are going to tend to believe. And to the extent, we don't have to believe it, but it's going to be very hard for us even to recognize that that's something that we've got because of other people. And then once we recognize it, to overcome it. So, and this is why, you know,
this is why I constantly think I am just ungodly sexy.
there were studies, and I don't remember when these studies were done, but there were studies done with young African-American children about judging attractiveness. And this wasn't that long ago when the study was done, but it was found that African-American children... generally found African-American faces to be more or less attractive than Caucasian faces. Because, you know, that's what they've been told over and over again in their culture, and it's not something they really thought consciously. It just sort of got programmed in there.
Yeah.
Through this whole looking glass self routine. So like you were saying, celebrities are going to have a very different view of the world based on their looking glass self experience. You're going to have a different experience from them, and you're going to have a different experience from people who live in countries where it seems like the media and their day-to-day experience is constantly telling them that what their self-worth is like. And there've been studies about people who live below the poverty line and how they see themselves and how they think of, you know, what their life is like, and how it's very difficult for them to overcome their circumstances, because these psychological blocks, you know, keep telling them that they can't do it. They, you know, it's impossible. And then of course they run into actual blocks all the time. Yeah. And so it's very hard. It's a very callous thing in our culture to say, well, these people just need to work harder. These people just, you know, these people are in this bad situation because they don't commit themselves or work hard enough or whatever, or they don't have enough drive. Well, that's a very callous thing to say, considering the psychological hurdles they're up against. But psychological hurdles aren't in our culture typically regarded as being real or substantial or, you know, worth considering when it comes to
back in school. I once took the bronze medal in the 100-meter psychological hurdle for field day.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
But you see what I'm saying. I mean,
I do.
It's all very.
I always see what you're saying.
It's a lot more complex than it actually ought to be. I mean, these things are not rocket science, really. Anyone could sit down and understand them, but our culture doesn't want us to understand them in a way. They want us to be sort of blind to our psychological foibles, because then advertisers can exploit them successfully.
Do you know what else is not like rocket science?
Let's see, petting your cat.
True.
Eating Vietnamese food.
Yes.
Driving a car. Maybe,
true.
Maybe a little like rocket
science.
Not
like rocket science.
Your diet Mountain Dew.
No, that is super like rocket science.
Can I stop listing things that aren't like rocket science now?
Well, clearly, because you just don't know what you're talking about. You clearly have no understanding of rocket science or Diet Mountain Dew.
That's true. I'd have no understanding of either of those things.
Yes, they're very similar.
Which is why I can list the things I understand and know they're not rocket science.
Why is anything he knows yeah. not rocket science?
I can just list everything I know.
Yes.
I must not, but apparently I don't know anything about Diet Mountain Dew.
My
thought I did.
Fucking cat is not rocket science. what she is a fucking velociraptor. Clever girl. Crawling all over me with your claws. All right, I'm clearly checked out for the show, and we got like 20 minutes left, so.
Should I draw something else?
Yeah, you should.
All right, then.
She's on a hunger strike, which makes her extra weird.
Oh, that's happening again, huh?
Yeah. It doesn't happen very much anymore, but yeah.
This is from someone who calls herself Miss Peach.
Miss Peach?
What if Batman got bit by a vampire? Well, there have been a there have been a couple stories that ask that same question. And what happens is, what you'd expect, he becomes a vampire.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not interesting.
I don't think so. I've never thought it was interesting. But some people seem to think it'd be interesting
but
if Batman was a vampire.
Could he transform into a bat if he's a vampire? That would be awesome. That's like the one thing he's missing.
In the most recent treatment of him being a vampire, he's like a vampire. That's like there's this animated feature called, oh shoot, what's it called? Gods and Monsters, maybe? Not very original name.
I have no idea.
But in this, it's kind of an alternate universe, and Superman is
bulimic.
No, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman are all in it, and they're all kind of different. But one thing that Batman is a vampire. Like, he's just a vampire. That's just what he is. And that's part of his superpowers, and he uses that to fight bad guys and whatever.
Yep.
Again, I don't think it's interesting at all. I don't even know why.
I recently heard some stand-up in which the bit largely revolved around the idea that your fashion choices mattered if you were doing open carry with a firearm. Because if you were wearing like shorts and flip-flops with a gun, you look like an idiot and you look like you shouldn't have one. But the way he explained it is if you're going out open carry, you better be dressed for it. You better look like a cowboy or Batman or something. And goddamn you, before I had a chance to laugh, a little voice in my head was like, Batman doesn't use guns! And I'm not saying I didn't know that before you, but I'm saying I'm pretty sure I wouldn't remember that now if it weren't for you.
Well, I mean, you know, in his first incarnations, he did, but very quickly later afterwards.
Remembers.
I suppose someone could. I think one of the ways they wanted to make it interesting when he was bit by a vampire in the comic books, that was some time ago. I don't remember what the story was called. Was how would he cope with it? Like, you know, he doesn't want to kill anybody. He doesn't, you know, how would he?
He's
deal
a billionaire.
With it?
He would buy a blood bank.
But I don't recall that even being a big, important, interesting part of the story. I just think someone thought, wouldn't it be cool if Batman was actually a vampire? Oh, that would be cool. Let's write that. And it wasn't cool or interesting. It was just dumb.
I want you to use that voice
okay.
way more often.
All right.
In general.
From now on, I'm just going
to
talk.
Oh, then it's not special anymore. Anytime you're pretending to be
someone
else.
But seriously, if someone pitched you, hey, what if... If someone pitched that to you as a comic book idea, wouldn't you think, I mean, you don't like Batman anyway, so maybe it's
no,
a good point.
No, but I do think it's a silly addition to Batman.
Yeah, it's
I'll tell
not
you
interesting
what it
at
is.
All.
It's goddamn sartorial.
I suppose.
It's entirely because he looks all dark and shit, and you're like, vampires are dark and shit.
Which is, like, on the nose, though. It's like, then that just makes it too obvious.
It's on the nose, and it's, and outside of his fashion choices, it doesn't.
No, I don't know.
He's basically already a vampire in a lot of ways. Like, all the emo bullshit and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, he's not going to go bite people. He will buy himself a goddamn bug bank. What I think would be way cooler is if Bruce Wayne got bit by a radioactive bat. And then... I think that would be fun just for the irony. I just want that to be like a what if or something where that just happens and he's like, huh. So, pretty much same as before, but now I just have all of the things are attached to my body instead of I'm my own utility.
He might echolocate now. Maybe that.
But just anything that. He had a gadget for, he can just, like, do it now. I think he can fly, in theory.
Yeah, maybe.
I saw turkeys fly recently.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Why? I don't think they can fly for they very long gliding. Or very
yeah,
far.
But it was weird. It was further kinda than
like, kind of like chickens.
Go.
Chickens can get up to a higher roost with using their wings, but they don't really
also, one of those cherry
fly.
They can use those. You know, the extendable basket things.
Oh, okay,
they
sure.
Used to fix telephone poles and stuff. A chicken could use that to get to a higher roost.
Yeah, I suppose it could.
You know what else makes you go higher?
You want to draw one more thing? Just you know?
I want to.
We don't have to. We don't have to.
Yeah, no,
should we?
Okay. What? You couldn't kill 20 minutes with the Batman vampire thing?
Nope.
It's slacking.
Well, we're evil, so.
Here's another one from Stu.
All right. Four questions. That's pretty good.
Are you worried about mass electronic surveillance? Prism et al?
Worried. Well, I mean...
I can tell you right now, William's sad about it.
Yeah. And
I'm sad about most of
them. I am a person... I mean, I'm on an email list that does... that does give a person resources and how to circumvent or avoid that kind of thing. And I am interested in putting those things into place so that the possibilities that I can be surveilled are lower. Not that there's anything I do that would matter, but I just, as a matter of principle, I want to avoid that kind of thing.
I don't have those.
But I think we've talked about this before, how some of the measures that you might take, like Tor, for example, if you want to use that secure server or whatever, you can't use YouTube, you can't use any Google products.
I've been watching a fair bit of this Adam Ruins Everything show and learning some interesting things out of it. Have you heard about, did I tell you about this show?
I don't think so.
True TV has, I think it used to be a web series, but it's this guy and he basically debunks every goddamn thing. And it's frequently, like, good stuff. Like, the first episode I ever saw was him basically debunking most charities. And, like, a lot of charities don't do what they say, or a lot of charities are causing more harm because the way they're trying to help, like, throws off other things and all this. Mm-hmm. And it always ends with, like, here's the one good thing. And that episode, they're like, there's one thing you can donate that actually matters. And the answer to that one was money. Like, stop doing these things where you're sending coats or you're collecting food or whatever. Donate money to charities that you trust.
Yeah.
But so he does all this. And one that came up that I only watched part of was all about the TSA mostly. But it was this concept of security theater. There are a lot of things for the purpose of security that don't work. And the people who are doing them know they don't work.
That's right.
And they do them because the potential victims feel safer doing it. And most of the TSA is that, among other things. Mm-hmm. A ton of online security is that, internet security, that kind of stuff.
That's right.
I come from a weird perspective in this, of course. I feel like it's almost entirely true. For me, that I don't, to quote a song, I don't care if the world knows what my secrets are. And obviously there are situational exemptions from this, but it just in general, I'm not worried about people. For the sake of people knowing things, I'm not worried. So that leaves me two possible objections. One is an issue of principle, which I object to in principle, but I don't do shit for that ever. But I agree, I don't think they should be spying on us to this degree. And then the other one is the worry that I'm going to get in trouble. And with that one, I got a lot of things that could get me in trouble, including things that are... I don't want to use that... including things that might not correspond with the law appropriately.
Right, but the thing is...
I always feel like the level of stepping out there that I would do that would cause anybody to rain hell down on me... there would be a really long line to me. I've always felt like I don't do anything bad enough that anybody would seek me out.
Right, but the problem is, you can't be squeaky clean enough.
The whole
problem with this is, if for whatever reason somebody wants that, you, they can do it. They can take
or
something,
just
they can...
arbitrarily, if you're singled out, it sucks. That, well, it's the same thing like people talk about, you know, they don't wear seatbelts or they don't wear a motorcycle helmet. And you know what? Almost all of them can do that for their whole life and will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that don't will be dead. And so it's like, so it's the same thing here. It's like, yeah, they probably won't mess with me. If they do, my life could be over.
Well, that's the whole point, the whole problem.
Yeah.
And that's why the principle matters, is because it's not just a principle thing. There are practical situations here that, but besides that, perhaps, you know, you and I are way down at the end of the line for people they'll go after. But that,
I think I'm slightly further down than you. You're into some weird shit.
That doesn't make me comfortable with the people they are going after. I mean,
No.
I mean, I feel solidarity for those people, even though it's not me.
I probably should have said at the outset, my method of dealing with this is not a good way of dealing with
well,
it. I don't advocate my lifestyle,
right.
In any sense.
But the thing about all of this is, I mean, I watch cop shows and I'll feel depressed just watching a cop show.
Well,
because
that's not hard to do. Very depressing.
Because let's look at the cameras on this street to see, you know, all this stuff they just pull in like it's nothing into these cop shows.
Yeah.
Some of it doesn't exist or isn't realistic, but some of it does, and you're like, okay, so yeah, this is what cops can do. and what if they see you on that camera? And what if they decide they're going to look at, you know, they get a court to agree to look at your financials or whatever, and before you know it, you know, you could be a suspect in this crime. And even if when they're done, they decide, oh, okay, well, you know, we've got the right guy. It's not you. But you had to go through all that stuff for no other reason except you were on a camera.
Yep.
I mean, and that's terrible.
Without specific things, a lot of time, if you're just the most likely suspect they can find, you can still get convicted.
In the alternate reality story I'm writing, there's actually going to be a situation where there's a crime and in this alternate reality, everybody carries a personal device. And so the first one of the things a certain person wants to do is, well, let's take the device of that person who was the victim of this crime and crack it open and see who they were talking to or whatever. And there's law enforcement people there that, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
And the reason we don't do that is because it's the same as innocent until proven guilty. You let a few guilty people go to protect the innocent people.
Yep.
And this is the exact same principle. Maybe we could catch this person if we did this, but if we got in the habit of doing this, we would be violating the civil rights of people, and it's not worth it. We'd rather this person go free.
Also, for the record, eyewitness testimony is absolute bullshit, and there is no proven evidence that fingerprints are unique.
Is that right?
None.
I didn't know that.
It is apparently based off of the theorizing of a 19th century man of scholar who theorized that it was likely that none were ever alike. Also, apparently in 1960, a dude actually found two identical snowflakes.
Yeah, I think I heard
that's
that.
That's some bullshit, too. That was the episode all about forensics and how all of that is bullshit. The one thing that wasn't bullshit in that, DNA. That's actually pretty scientifically provable.
Yeah.
And then that brought him into all talking about the Innocence Project and all that kind of stuff. Mm. Which, big fan of the Innocence Project. Because I've read some scary fucking stories. But. All right, Bebo, that's it. So, I mean, you know, go to the blog,
themagicaltalkinghat.com.
Write into the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook, because that's a fetish of theirs. And then I guess tune in next week. Honestly, I don't care, but they'll want you to.
Yep.
So, all right. That's it. Don't touch that penny.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.